Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Throughout the day today, we've heard strong reaction from cabinet members, opposition leaders and survivors following the revelation by Professor Mary Daly that testimonies from hundreds of women were excluded from the final report into the mother and baby homes due to threats of legal action. Professor Daly spoke to an online Oxford seminar yesterday, the first time a member of the commission has spoken since the controversial report was published about 5 months ago. Earlier, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar spoke in the Dáil and described what happened as disrespectful.
The commission members did not engage with the Oireachtas and did not engage with the survivors. Either to explain the report, to tell us how they came to the findings they did, or to answer any questions. And I think that was not the correct course of action. And that has now been compounded by the fact that one of the commission members felt it appropriate to do exactly that in an academic seminar. And I think that was disrespectful to the Oireachtas. I think it was disrespectful in particular to the survivors and their advocates. And I think it is now necessary for the commission members to come before an Oireachtas committee, as they've been asked to do. They should do it without delay.
And that is the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar speaking in the Dáil. Minister for Children Roderick O'Gorman told the News at One that it was inappropriate what happened.
I don't believe it was appropriate, no. I think we have a situation now where survivors are hearing through second-hand coverage of an academic event where a commissioner spoke. It would appear in a lot of detail about certain elements of the report and particularly about how their personal accounts were treated by the commission. And that's always been an issue that survivors have a real concern about. Now, commissioners and members of the commission are entitled to speak about this, but I think for the first public discussion of this to be at a restricted event like this is not appropriate.
And that was Minister for Children Roderick O'Gorman, and beforehand Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. The Labour leader Alan Kelly has gone further and asserted that Professor Daly had re-traumatised victims. It was clear the Commission's report was fatally flawed and a new Commission was required, he said. I'm joined now by independent TD for Galway West, Catherine Connolly, a trenchant critic of the Commission's report when it was published. Catherine Connolly, you're very welcome to the programme.
Can
I just say to you and our listeners that we contacted Professor Mary Daly today and we asked her to come on Drive Time and answer some questions in relation to what had happened. She said she wasn't available. Can I just get your reaction to her attendance and her participation
At this seminar? Well, first of all, you introduced me as someone who was trenchantly, I think, opposed to this report. I wouldn't use that word. Actually, I read that report when it came out on the day, and I struggled for a number of hours to come to terms with my own emotions and thoughts as I read it and the language. And now it's making sense to me, and if I have time, I'll come back to why.
Okay.
It took me a few hours to come to terms with it, because the testimony from the witnesses jumped off the page, and yet the conclusions were completely at odds.
Okay.
I spent quite a bit of time reading it then before I made my speech in the Dáil.
Okay.
So now, listening to this, first of all, it's extraordinary that one of the commissioners choose to talk about this to a college, privileged, to students, postgraduate students, in this manner, having refused the three commissioners to come before a Dáil committee. That is absolutely significant and noteworthy that was the choice made. Now, if we come back to what was said, somebody from my office actually attended and took detailed notes. So I have detailed notes before me in relation to that. And I actually think, in a sense, the former professor of history has shone a spotlight for the first time on the workings of this commission. And the various things that she said yesterday, some of them without too much thought, some of them rambling, and some of them very significant. Now we need to look at it.
What do you mean? She spoke about the terms of reference, for example.
Well, the terms of reference were always limited. Now, this was an order of the Dáil back in January 15. That's how long ago we're talking about. And then the terms of reference. She said the terms of reference didn't allow for certain things. Yes, they were restrictive. But in relation to the confidential committee, it clearly allowed for a confidential committee with appropriate people listening to the witnesses that came forward, to allow the evidence to come out and allow the commissioners to include that in their report. That's quite clear when you look at the terms of reference.
Clear when you look at the terms of reference, maybe. Although she says that if the report reads as legalistic, if the report doesn't include some evidence that people gave to the confidential inquiry, then there's a reason why it's not there, she says. Anything in the main report of the commission had to meet robust legal standards of evidence. And she did outline that they were faced with threats legal action.
Perhaps, Cormac, if you interviewed Mary Daly, but at the moment you interview me, and I only can tell you my thoughts and my opinions on what I've seen from the detailed note that a member of my staff took. And in that detailed report, it was pointed out that that Tume came back with an extraordinary accusation that the burial tanks were purpose-built. Mm-hmm. Apart from the fact that Galway County Council could not have afforded, they had the nerve to send that back to us. Now, there's an extraordinary sentence. Who are they? Is that the nuns that had the extraordinary nerve to come back and make out that these were purposely built chambers under the ground? I'm not sure. She tells us, actually, that the places got no investment and women were slave, unpaid workers. Now, she tells us that a nun in charge was criminally negligent. And she makes many other statements like this. She talks about threats and legal looming threats. Now, what I'd like to know, Cormac, is when did those threats happen? How were they conveyed to the commissioners? Was it a phone call, a letter? How was that made apparent? What contact had they with the government in relation to these threats, if any? I have repeatedly asked for the correspondence between the Commission of Investigation and the government in relation to different interim reports, one which was never published till after the full report was published. And we've never seen that correspondence. There's another very important point. One, there were lots of interim reports and usually just asking for an extension. But one was particularly detailed and good in relation to the difficulties being encountered by the commissioners in relation to access to information from various state agencies and from the religious organisations. It's quite clearly set out in that. It's also quite clearly set out that they have difficulty with a sworn affidavit from the sisters. And I think the allegation, I haven't it in front of me, so I'll be careful, but certainly serious difficulties in relation to the truth of what was being sworn. So when I read that going back, I thought, that's interesting. They're being very strong. They're pointing out the difficulties. That seemed to go when the final report came out. And so what went into the final report was a narrative that said society was to blame, as opposed to the narrative that might have emerged if...
Why do you see a discrepancy? Why did it change?
Well, this is a very good question.
And please be careful if you don't mind.
I tend to be over careful, Cormac. Agushin faibata agamigoni bimirokuramak. But I'm going to repeat that I think Mary Daly has been helpful, and I say that in a very respectful sense, that she has highlighted that the commissioners came under extraordinary pressure. From whom? They is talked about. Threats from them. In what manner? How was that done? And how did that change the way that they wrote the report, if it changed them? But certainly, from their interim strong report, and it was either five, I think it was number five, one would think they were going to come to different conclusions. And they didn't. And certainly then, if we go back to what they're saying, the terms of reference, that's not accurate.
Okay, so
let me finish, Corbett, sorry now, because this is important. They said they couldn't use the testimony to inform their conclusions and recommendations. But they actually did, because they put in the testimony from the confidential committee and they called it contaminated. So they made a judgment about that evidence based on what we don't know, but they didn't use the same language in relation to their concerns about a sworn affidavit that wasn't accurate. Do you get the point?
Yeah, I do. So let me just summarise this based on what I've heard from you. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. You read the interim reports and you saw quite a clear narrative based on testimony and so on from survivors. And then you're drawing focus on this legal threat that was issued.
I didn't see a narrative. I saw the report clearly identifying problems, unable to get documents, And in fact, yesterday at the seminar, she referred to that, about the difficulty of getting documents. She highlighted that. She highlighted an affidavit that was sworn that wasn't believable and highlighted various other matters in that interim report. Mm-hmm. We fast forward to the final report, and it's written in a way that is utterly removed from the testimony. And quite clearly, it would be one thing to say we can't include the testimony and give a paragraph or a few pages explaining why. But they didn't do that. What they did was drew, said it was contaminated. So, we have evidence that's contaminated or water. Evidence is either credible or not credible. You don't use the word contaminated.
The one thing that stands out here, Catherine Connolly, is that survivors wanted their voices heard predominantly, yes, and wanted the truth to be told. And that is the overriding message from survivors, whenever you talk to them or hear them speak.
Absolutely.
And the question I wonder now is, do they feel, or do you feel, that the survivor's voice and truth is heard in this report?
Absolutely not. And I'm dealing with the shock of what I'm reading and what I'm hearing. I can only imagine what it's like for the witnesses that went forward. I can only imagine it. On every level, they have been disrespected. The report was never given to them in a timely manner. There was a leak to the paper. There was an investigation into that leak. We never heard about it. And then the conclusions and recommendations in the report are all mixed up. And the government is running with those recommendations, which continues the discrimination. For example, the recommendation was that if you were in there without a mother, then you should be treated differently in terms of a redress than if your mother was with you. Also, if you were in there after a certain year. At this point, we need to digest what we're hearing. We need a response from the government. And in my opinion, the commissioners were either out of their depth, utterly and completely, and because actually...
Well, hang on now, because some of the commissioners had worked on similar reports and investigations before.
I'm only giving my opinion.
I don't know if you can say they were out of their depth.
Well, and I've given you my opinion and my feeling that they were either out of their depth and are came under such pressure that we need clarification on that.
Okay.
And there's a reference where Mary Daly said when they asked, and she specifically refers to Tune, and when they came forward that they kept talking, you asked them for a description of the home, but they had very little. They had deliberately, and she stops, they could tell us, they couldn't say what happened to them at school, and they talked about life. Now, anybody with experience in trauma would know that victims are very reluctant to speak. Going back years ago in a different life, I was at the redress board in Dublin. And I can tell you, with the clients I had, their life story was told in a half a page. They didn't tell it. Mm-hmm. The situation had to be created so that they felt comfortable and that they trusted people.
But do you know what strikes me then? When the report was published back in January, the Taoiseach issued and read a statement. And in that statement, he says, "The report gives survivors what they have been denied for so long, their voice, their individuality, their right to be acknowledged." He said, he called this the definitive account of what happened to these women. You're saying now, and people have said it today already, that it doesn't represent the women's voices or the truth. So what do we do with this report?
Well, first, I'm not just saying it now, I said it then. The conclusions and the narrative that emerged from the report was clearly at odds with the witness statements and oral evidence given by the survivors and witnesses who came forward. The two didn't go together.
So we have a problem though, Catherine, because I listened to Minister Roderick O'Gorman on the news at 1 today, and he was asked about repudiating the report, and he said, look, if we repudiate the report, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, upon what basis can the state set up a redress scheme? So is the choice to keep this report that survivors seem unhappy with and set up a redress scheme, or repudiate the report and no redress scheme? Is that the choice we're left with?
I don't think they're the choices. At this point, our choice is to analyse the information we're getting, to seek for more information. Go back to what I asked for, absolute all correspondence between the Commission and the government. Without a doubt, we need to set up a redress scheme. The manner in which we appear to be doing that, and I'm careful, appear to be doing it, seems to be in a discriminatory manner, perpetuating the discrimination that happened. Remember that the mother and baby homes that we're talking about and the sample county homes are only a small number of the overall institutions in the country that were there. So we actually, there are a number of things we need to do. We need to progress the legislation as quickly as possible in relation to a right of access to information. People are still struggling in relation to that. We need to set up a proper redress scheme that's just, fair and non-discriminatory. And then we need full and frank answers from the commissioner, the three commissioners. At the very least, they must attend at the Dáil committee. To refuse to go to a Dáil committee and then choose to go to a private seminar or a seminar in a college, it's just not acceptable.
Can you understand, is there any reason whatsoever why they haven't come before and out of this committee or even programmes like this? We've asked repeatedly and we've asked again, as I say, Professor Mary Daly today, and she said she's not available. I mean, can you think of any reason why they wouldn't?
I don't think it's normal for commissioners to come out and go on programmes, but it is normal, for judging by previous investigations, where the commissioners, or whatever title they had, would put their report in context and would explain the report and would explain maybe difficulties they encountered along the way. I think, as I said, much of what Mary Daly has said is amazing. It's truly amazing when she says they came back. They threatened us. We had terrible difficulty getting evidence. The state should look after their own back garden, where their records were terrible. The local authorities were appalling. So there's so much stuff in this. And yet conclusions were made that bore no resemblance to many of the statements being made here. And more importantly, in relation to the testimony from the witnesses that came forward. And she does manage to say, I met a lot of very resilient women.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I, and she did say that, in fairness, and survivors are, I don't know if grateful is the word, but they do acknowledge that there is some truth there. But they're also saying there are inaccuracies there and bits of their testimony in places and it's incomplete. But in terms of coming before an NFS committee, the commission is wound up and they have no legal obligation now to come before the committee. So how do we get the commissioners to attend an ethics committee?
There's a higher moral law than a legal obligation. We're talking about 550 people that went, I think approximately, I don't have the exact figure before me, who went before the confidential committee, expecting to be heard, expecting that they would be treated with dignity and respect, and what they said would be taken into account in the final report. That didn't happen. We have the mystery of the disappearing and the reappearing recordings of the testimony, only because of serious pressure within the Dáil from all politicians and from the survivors themselves was that clarified that the evidence wasn't destroyed. Mm-hmm. We had the mystery of the leak to the Sunday paper, and people are still facing enormous obstacles to get the information held by the department and various departments, including Tusla. So just put all that into the mix, and you're asking me to give what is the solution.
I know.
I think we need to reflect, and we need to reflect on where we're at. And I do
acknowledge that. And some of the questions I ask you or of anybody else on this matter are extremely difficult. But I suppose survivors, at the end of the day, most urgently, they want the truth and the full truth to be fully known. Finally, look, we'll have to leave it there because of time. But thank you very much indeed, Catherine Connolly, Gairmeela Magus, Independent TD for Galway West.